Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
This is Sunpod. My name is Michael and I welcome you to episode 267 of our podcast. Right from the start, solar cooking had one big problem. How can we cook when there is no sunshine? Many people around the world have their principal dish in the evening, and this raises the question, how can we store the heat we have collected during the day? Professor Antonio Lecuona Neumann from Carlos III University in Madrid tells us in our interview how he tries to find answers by researching phase change materials and photovoltaics. And as a professor of thermal engineering, he has the rare gift of being able to explain complicated topics in a simple way. You may find this out in the next 34 minutes.
Yes, my name is Antonio Lecuona Neumann. We have two family names in Spain. And I am professor on thermal engineering at the Carlos III University in Madrid. That is Charles III University in Madrid. This is a new university that belongs to the higher rank of new universities in Europe. And we decided when we started this university to focus our attention in research on new technologies for energy production and especially for renewable energies and mainly on solar energy. Mm-hmm. Within this field, we have worked on production of heat, cold and power using solar energy, but for small-scale projects. And also to help the undeveloped world with techniques that they can use for living, no? Mm-hmm. For that, we have several initiatives. One is solar cooking. The other is solar drying. And also, in general, energy supply for isolated and remote locations or communities. Also, we have joined the last year a network with the South American countries for advancing in this direction. Mm-hmm. Well, what we discovered, because previously we didn't have any experience on the developed countries, is that it is difficult to apply solar energy for cooking or for drying, for example, in those communities, just depending on the sun. Because the sun is irregular, for solar cooking, traditional solar cooking, you need to cook outside and wait until the sun is available, and there are problems on that. For example, the main courses for eating is typically in those countries, in those areas, is the breakfast, that is during the night, and the dinner, that is also during the night. And there is no sun. And because of that, we try to develop some techniques for storing heat for cooking, so that the dinner can be cooked or at last heated to a warmer state so that it is easily eaten, no? Also to cook the breakfast in the night or at last to heat it, mm-hmm. no? And another thing that is very much related with solar cooking, that is preparing hot sanitary water. Mm-hmm. For example, for washing the babies, mm-hmm. and sterilizing mm-hmm. some instruments or some tools, no, mm-hmm. for health or just for living, no. Mm-hmm. So batteries can do that, but batteries, electrical batteries, are expensive. They are very heavy. So that we discovered also that transporting heavy goods to remote location is a big problem. And also when they finish their operative life, they are very polluting
mm-hmm.
because bringing them back mm-hmm. to the cities
mm-hmm.
is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that probably batteries will be left in the environment and polluting them. Typical batteries are made of sulfuric acid and lead.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are very toxic and polluting.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to work on the storing just heat, because heat is what you need
mm-hmm.
for cooking. The problem is that you need a lot of heat. Cooking needs a lot of heat, especially for boiling. We are used to boil, and boiling water takes a lot of energy. So one of the first measures that we learned is that you should avoid as much as possible boiling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but still you need a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started using some materials that they can store a lot of energy. And we began with some waxes, no? And that they store a lot of heat when they melt.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not very useful because, they tend to diminish the capacity of storing heat along their life, because they decompose a little bit. They get colored.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, waxes
mm-hmm.
coming from petroleum,
mm-hmm.
they are typically transparent, no?
Mm-hmm.
They get dark, and so they lose their property. And also they are not enough heat conductant.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a problem. We searched other substances, and we arrived at a substance that is a sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sugar. They're belonging to a family of sugar that they are non-caloric.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is erythritol. The name is not pretty. Erythritol, but it's used very much for non-caloric or diet foods,
mm-hmm.
especially ice creams
mm-hmm.
and candies. And so it's harmless. It's cheap because it's produced by thousands of tons or
mm-hmm.
even more
yeah.
For making non-caloric foods. And also there are other sugars that can be used, for example, mannitol and sorbitol, that they are used now for making chewing gums and candies. And they can be also used. And they store a lot of energy when they melt.
What are the melting points?
Yes, the melting points depends on the substance, no? For example, erythritol, that is the one we used, melts at 118 degrees Celsius. Mannitol melts at a higher temperature. I don't remember exactly the number,
mm-hmm.
but in Wikipedia can be found.
Mm-hmm.
And sorbitol, as far as I remember, melts at 90 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No? So 118 can be used for storing this energy when it melts and delivering, giving it back when it solidifies. And 118 gives a small over temperature above boiling point of water, that is around 100 degrees Celsius, so that we can give it back and boil gently. It's not a hard boiling,
mm-hmm.
but a gentle boiling, and so this way, cooking, not frying, cannot be done like that, but you can boil and get many kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we experienced that, we modeled that theoretically, we did some experiments, and it seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
Still, it has a problem, that is heat conductivity. It's
mm-hmm.
much higher than waxes, but still not high enough for cooking rapidly. So we enhance the heat conductivity using aluminum tubes. Aluminum tubes are manufactured in large quantities, so it is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, copper could be a better material, but it's much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And aluminum is good enough. It has no problem of contaminating food, at last in this way. And we developed a kind of pot that has in the bottom part of it around 5 kilograms of the hybrid mixture of aluminum tubes and erythritol, mm-hmm. so that with the sun you can melt it during the day slowly, and then storing it in an insulated box, and this way deliver this heat in the night or even in the morning after the night, so that you can cook. Mm-hmm. Well, not exactly the same way as you can cook with a fire, because the fire gives you around 1 kilowatt or two kilowatts of power, mm-hmm. of heating power. This gives less power, so you must wait a little. You must wait a little. But I think that waiting is better than not having anything.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I would like to know what the decomposition temperature of these sugars are. Are they safe? Is there a big temperature difference from the melting point to there, that you do not overheat them and destroy them?
Yes, you can. This can happen. Yes, yeah. This can happen, because every sugar decomposes, because it is an organic compound.
It caramelizes or so.
It caramelizes, yes.
Yes.
You are right, yes.
But
we have experience with 130 up to 140 degrees, and up to now it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't still done long time endurance, because we are developing the prototypes, mm-hmm. no? But it seems that it's okay.
Yeah,
it gets a little color, but faint color if you use it.
Yeah,
you know we are heating it up to some points that we don't know. In average, it's 130, 140, but perhaps in some points it's a little higher.
Yeah,
and gets a little decomposing, no? But I think that this is cheap enough that after some time you can replace it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And actually you can use it for your sweets.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Are the descriptions of your prototypes available to the public on the internet?
Yes, we have published an article in Applied Energy some years ago, mm-hmm. about that. We have other papers in this Congress in Consol Food,
mm-hmm.
in the previous years, in mm-hmm. 2016, 2018.
Yeah.
And, we have some end of studies projects available at our university, no?
Mm-hmm.
And we plan to still make public our results. Of course, our university is a public university,
yeah.
So in our philosophy is to spread as much as possible this knowledge, so that other people can try this, can improve it, and use it eventually. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have switched to a very novel way of doing solar cooking, that is photovoltaic,
yeah.
solar cooking.
Yeah. You work on this?
Yes, yes. We have been working for 2 years, more or less, on photovoltaic cooking.
Are there first results?
Yes, yes. We have a prototype developed that is working. We presented already here a talk, and there will be a paper and the presentation slides available in the web page of this Congress, Consol Food
mm-hmm.
2018.
Mm-hmm.
And results are very promising.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big problem. There was a big problem about photovoltaic cooking. That is, the photovoltaic panels, they are nonlinear devices. They mm-hmm. are diodes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a curve for delivery that depends on solar irradiance. And depends also on the voltage that you put on. So that joining a photovoltaic solar panel with a resistance, so that the resistance hits the food,
mm-hmm.
doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
We looked for PV controllers that are available everywhere mm-hmm. because they are made in China and they are very cheap, but they don't work well. Why? Because they count on batteries. They are thought for charging batteries, and we don't want batteries. Mm-hmm. We don't want batteries. And so they were not useful. Mm-hmm. They need the battery to have some kind of voltage reference, and we don't have it. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't connect to the mains electricity supply. Mm-hmm. This is an isolated system. Mm-hmm. So the first prototype we developed was a circuit, a controlling circuit that relied on duty cycle. This mm-hmm. means connecting and disconnecting very fastly mm-hmm. the solar PV panel with the load. The load was a resistance, no, of 24 volts. But it worked okay, but the efficiency of the whole system was not high enough. We want the efficiency to be very high. Why? Because an expensive thing is the solar panel. And we don't want to have a large solar panel. Mm-hmm. Only one. Mm-hmm. Only one that is 2 meters times 1 meter, so 2 square meters. Mm-hmm. That cost in Spain 200 euros on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So probably buying it in large quantities will be half of that. No? Mm-hmm. And having two is perhaps too much. Mm-hmm. So with a single PV panel, we have available up to 300 watts, more or less. With that, we are more or less the same power. We have the same power of a typical a solar cooker, mm-hmm. no, with 300 watts. That is one third of a typical cooking fire. No? Mm-hmm. So this is enough. No, well, using this small power, we needed a high efficiency. And a technician of our university discovered something very interesting. Is that some transistors, they can operate dissipating the energy, the voltage, the electricity into heat quite well. They are power transistors. These power transistors, they behave non-linearly, so that when you combine them with the resistance, you get something that matches very well the power that is delivered by the PV panel. So our second generation PV solar cooker uses both resistances and power transistors. Mm-hmm. The problem with power transistors is that they don't withstand temperature higher than 130, 140 degrees. So it matches very well the maximum temperature typically considered as maximum for erythritol. Mm-hmm. So now what we have is some prototypes where we are working a lot with students. We have Erasmus students even coming from Germany, mm-hmm. Working with their end of studies projects on experimenting with these prototypes, proposing improvements and getting the performances of them, no? Mm-hmm. So we are in this way in photovoltaic solar cooking, not abandoning the traditional solar cookers. Why PV is the question, I think.
Yes.
No, why PV? Well, you know, with traditional solar cookers, you must cook outside. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful sometimes, but it's not wonderful in some areas, like mm-hmm. the Andes, mm-hmm. mountains, and in some areas. For example, peri-urban areas. This means the poverty belts around the very big cities, like New Delhi, mm-hmm. like Bombay, mm-hmm. and like Buenos Aires in Argentina, mm-hmm. and so on. No? And in these places, going out of your home and deploying a solar cooker on the street, these streets are narrow, with a lot of people, motorcycles running through, and well, you know, this is difficult. Not only because of the need of space, but also because of the contamination that you can put on the food. So we think that it would be better to have a solar panel on the roof, some cables going down to the kitchen, and to cook in the kitchen, so mm-hmm. that the ladies that are cooking, they can cook and at the same time take care of the children, mm-hmm. cleaning the house, and so on. No? So this is the idea. So I think that PV cooking won't be for everybody, but could be very helpful in some areas. Mm-hmm. Of course, they will be not so cheap as conventional solar cooking, but appropriate for some circumstances. Mm-hmm. And there is a plus in PV cooking. That is, you know, you have at noon around 300 watts. But you can cook in around the middle of the day, but in the afternoon you will have a lot of energy for charging mobiles, mm-hmm. for charging small batteries in lights, LED lights, no, mm-hmm. and flashlight and things like that, or you can charge the batteries, small batteries, independent batteries of radios and even TVs. Mm-hmm. So with this small panel, you have a lot of services. Mm-hmm. It's more expensive, but very convenient, no. Mm-hmm. Having electricity in the house is okay. Mm-hmm. And the last point we developed in these solar cookers is to use a cooker that is also convenient. They are commercial cookers that is a pot, a thermally insulated pot that is called with different names worldwide. They call it slow cookers, they call it cooking robots. They call them cooking electronic pots, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
The name depends on the area where you
yeah.
buy them.
Yeah.
Typically, they are made in China. They are very cheap. We buy a simple model in Spain for 30-40 euros around. No, of course, they are more expensive ones, but these are good enough for the purpose we have in mind. No? Mm-hmm. So these are electric cookie pots. They are designed to be connected to the main electricity supply, but we add the resistance and the transistors on the lower part where there is the heating plate, mm-hmm. so that like that they will be dual purpose. Mm-hmm. They can be used with the PV panel when the sun is available. And when there is no sun, or when they need more power, they can be plugged into the mains, mm-hmm. and use it the conventional way. Mm-hmm. So this is our idea.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very good. I want to come back to the phase change materials. What do you recommend for melting the sugars? Which type of devices?
Well, this thermal energy storage based on phase change material can be heated directly by the sun, mm-hmm. concentrating the solar yeah.
So you
rays.
Take a normal box cooker, for example, or
perhaps
parabolic.
A box cooker is not
you can reach up
hot
to 150 degrees in them.
Yes, but one thing is to reach 150 degrees, and the other thing is to withstand 150 degrees. When you are melting, because
yeah.
when you are melting, some heat disappears inside
yeah.
the material. So
yeah.
You need some power, no? You
okay.
need some power.
So a parabolic cooker would be better.
A parabolic cooker or yeah. something like that would
yeah.
be good enough.
Yeah. Just to get an idea, if I have, let's say, 1 kilogram of erythritol and I want to melt it, and I have, let's say, SK14. You mentioned you have some in
yes.
In, yeah.
Yes.
How long does it take if you have blue sky?
For melting 1 kilogram, well, very little, perhaps 20 minutes.
Ah,
so.
Okay.
Our package is around 4-5 kilograms.
Yeah,
it takes
okay.
1 hour, 1 hour and a half.
It's not much.
Something like that, no?
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And how much energy is stored then? I mean, if it takes 1 hour and you have, let's say, solar constant of 1 kilowatt.
Yes. You have 1 kilowatt hour.
So, you have 1 kilowatt hour. Is that right?
Yes, as far as I remember, it's something like that.
5 kilogram sugar means 1 kilowatt hour. So, more or less.
More or less, yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, because it is so new. I think nobody can imagine what it means.
Yes, you need, for example, for cooking 1 liter, you need several kilograms of PCM. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Because the water is, heating the water is very difficult.
Yeah.
It has a high heat capacity.
Yes, of course.
And of course, trying not to boil.
Yeah.
These pots, they are pressure cookers, so they avoid the boiling because it's a large heat expenditure, boiling.
Because this also changes the phases.
Yes. And it's much larger. The water phase change heat is much larger than the sugars. Of the sugar.
We meet now at the Consul Food Conference, and you have been here also at in 2016 and 18, and you returned. So I think it had some value for you. Can you say what it is and how this conference is, how you experienced it so far? How was it for you?
Yes, we have been here all the times it has been celebrated. Now this is the third time. No?
Yeah.
This is a good blend because Celestino Rodriguez Ruivo, Professor Rodriguez, has been successful in joining people that they do dissemination of solar cooking in the third world with people that they practice solar cooking at home in Europe, for example, or in the United States, and people like me that we do technology. So this is joining these three parts of solar cooking, I think, is a big plus. A big plus. It doesn't happen everywhere, no? There are congresses that I have been there that they are very good, and so, but perhaps they are very technical. They are more oriented towards university researchers and so on. But here you can find university researchers, practitioners, and people that they go for helping people in remote places and so on. And perhaps also some people that they are decision takers, no? That they look for money, they try to influence decision takers for helping for helping people.
And being here in the first 2 years during the first two conferences, did it influence your research at home in Madrid?
Yes, for sure. Because looking at what other people say orients you in a better way than just thinking at home and working with the students and with other collaborators.
Yeah.
Because you understand the problems, the real problems people have.
Yeah.
And things like that. No?
Have you an example for this?
Yes, in the past editions, there were people from India, for example, no? Where there is a large population that they could be helped very much by solar cooking. No? And speaking with them, meeting them, and understanding their needs, well, you understand in a much better way what should be done.
Okay, yes. And so you find new topics or new elements for your research in this way?
Yes. At the beginning, I thought solar cooking was something more ideal than really is. No?
Yeah.
And that efficiency should be the main point and things like that. No, and then you discover that perhaps it's not the most important thing. Because people, they are accustomed to cook as their culture dictates. No.
Yes.
And so trying then to change is difficult.
Yeah.
and when you are developing prototypes and so, you don't have that in your mind so much as necessary, you know.
Okay.
And so it helps you orient.
Yeah. Okay.
The way you design the solar cookers and the techniques you use and the cost and things like that, no.
Mm-hmm.
So this is important, no.
Mm-hmm.
This communication between different actors
mm-hmm.
in the phenomenon of solar cooking is for me is very, very helpful.
Yeah. Do you cooperate with any companies for who make some products of your prototypes?
Uh-huh. Well, we had some contacts with some companies, for example, heat insulation companies, that they were very interested in solar cooking because you need the thermal insulators for keeping the heat
mm-hmm.
inside the food or the PCM, no, so that it lasts for many hours, no, but not much more than that, you mm-hmm. know, not more. There is a Spanish company, or perhaps not only one, but several. One of them is Endesa, as far as I know, but now their name has changed, no?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, these big companies, they have foundations.
Yeah.
And in those foundations, they try to help people in remote locations, in the third world, in the developed countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been in our laboratory looking at our what we do and things like that, and they are very interested. But you know, we in our university, we don't produce goods.
Course.
We
yeah.
develop prototypes. Yeah. We offer yeah. our results to the society,
yeah.
so that a company or a foundation or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
they do their job.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this technology around the phase change materials is simple enough so that do-it-yourselfers can try it out, or do you need a workshop and more advanced tools and a workshop?
Well, actually, you can do perfectly because they are not. Some of them, they are not dangerous. For example, sugars are not dangerous.
Mm,
you eat them.
Yeah, yes, of
so
course.
This is not so difficult. There are other PCMs, or phase change materials,
mm-hmm.
that they are not so agreeable.
Yeah, of course.
For example, you have the famous sodium and potassium nitrates
mm-hmm.
that are used in solar power plants, no?
Yeah.
They are very much used for keeping heat in those power plants, but, you know, nitrates, when you heat nitrates enough, they burn, no? They are components of powder.
Yes, of course.
So you must be careful. No?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
At high temperatures.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, I have a parabolic cooker which delivers 1 kilowatt roundabout, and so if I take a black pot, fill it with 5 kilograms of your sugar, melt it, and then I build a device around it so that I have a hot plate on top, and then
uh-huh.
I can use it to cook.
Yeah.
Maybe include a few pipes of aluminium for
yeah.
better heat conduction.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you can do it. You can do it.
It's a very simple do-it-yourself
well,
approach.
It in principle is very simple, but we found a complication.
Mm-hmm.
That is that erythritol expands very much when it melts.
Okay.
Around 50%, they say.
Oh, yes. That's,
yes,
that's
really
a lot.
Much. So you must cope with that.
Okay. So I only fill my pot to the half and then it should be enough.
Well, this is not the best idea because you will have on top air. And air
okay.
doesn't conduct very
yes,
much.
Yes, but if I have a circular lid...
Yeah.
Which swims on top, let's say, and it goes up and
up
down.
Up and down, yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. That's right. And we tried to confine the erythritol in a very rigid volume,
mm-hmm.
and thermodynamics says us that it doesn't melt.
Okay.
If you don't allow it to expand, it doesn't melt.
Okay.
So you need to allow it to expand.
Yeah.
And imagine a design that is good enough that it allows expansion and contraction,
mm-hmm.
and be able to transfer heat.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So there is room for innovations in that.
So, okay. Thank you a lot.
Thank you to you.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.